After a conference call this morning with House Republican Speaker Paul Ryan had this news, he will not campaign with Donald Trump or defend him and will spend all his energy making sure that Hillary Clinton doesn't get a blank check with a Democratic Congress. He's also telling his members to do what they have to do to win, even if that means distancing themselves from the party's nominee. Meanwhile, there were concerns over the weekend that Trump's vice presidential candidate would drop off the ticket after that tape of Trump bragging about sexually assaulting women was released. This morning on CNN, Mike Pence said that is not happening, and he praised Trump for not backing off in last night's debate.
Donald Trump last night, through this avalanche of media focus through the weekend, squared his shoulders and refocused this election on the issues that really matter most to the American people, and I'm proud to stand with him.
Well, joining us now to talk about that and much more are Here and Now political analyst Paris Denard, Republican strategist not working for the Trump campaign. Hi, Paris.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Angela Rye is with us, Democratic strategist not working with the Clinton campaign. Hi, Angela.
Hello.
And I don't think there's ever been a moment when we've talked to you where more has happened since the last time we spoke to you. But Paris, I want to start with you and what happened just today with Paul Ryan. Is that an admission that he believes, or that members of Congress, Republican members, believe that Hillary Clinton is going to win this election?
No, I don't think that's an admission at all. I think what Speaker Ryan did was admitted what he's supposed to be doing. No one asked him to defend Donald Trump. That's not what he is supposed to do. What he is supposed to do is be the leader of the Republican conference and make sure that he keeps the House and he can stay as the Speaker of the House. That's his number one priority, getting those members in his caucus elected. So that's a good thing. Now, this is not something that's unprecedented or unheard of. We have in the past seen, and we can go back to the last midterm elections, where Obamacare wasn't so popular, and Democrats distanced themselves from President Obama. And so this, when President Bush ran, Senator McCain distanced himself away from George W. Bush. And so we see this happening for political advantages and political gains. But what I think is the most important thing is Speaker Ryan is still going to vote for Mr. Trump, because he knows at the end of the day, in order to pass the agenda that he needs to do for the American people, the opportunity agenda, he needs to have a Republican in the White House to do that. And Donald Trump is his closest ally and friend.
And as go ahead, Andrew.
So a couple things here. First, here's the difference between Speaker Ryan saying he's not going to campaign with their candidate in the honeymoon stage and a party not campaigning with an incumbent after they've had some experience with them as commander in chief. And therein lies the difference. He's not even been sworn in. He's not even won November 8th. He has just barely got himself to a month before the finish line. And he is losing. He's literally bleeding establishment Republicans who just barely got on board. He has trivialized the electoral process, not just for Republicans, but for Democrats, independents, and everyone in between, even more than Gary Johnson in Aleppo. This is a crying shame, and we have to call it what it is. This is actually quite an embarrassment that the Speaker of the House is so worried now that the House leadership, the majority, the House majority is on the line, that he can't even stand to be next to Donald Trump. That's damning.
Although he has not pulled his endorsement, interestingly.
No. I'm saying standing with him at an event.
Doesn't
though.
Want to That's campaign with him. Well, Paris, what's the calculation for a Republican member of Congress? Is it a better bet to distance from Donald Trump and maybe even unendorse Donald Trump and try to get swing voters? Or is it a better bet to stick with Donald Trump and hold on to the base voters that support him?
These are political calculations that each candidate must do. If you are in a safe district that is Republican, it bleeds Republican red, and you know that the majority, if not all of your supporters, are going to be supporting Donald Trump, and they turn out in massive numbers to support him, you have no reason to not support Mr. Trump because it doesn't make any sense for you not to. If you are, however, in a district that is 50-40, 60-30, whatever, and it seems as if you may need to have independents to run in order to win, then yeah, they're going to make a political calculation and say, I might distance myself or not support Mr. Trump. It's all politics. At the end of the day, it's all politics. It's about winning the election. So you will find a lot of Republicans who are not going to denounce Mr. Trump or actively or still going to stick with him because the politics of their districts say and their states say it's advantageous for them to support him.
Let's talk about the debate last night. It was quite something to watch. And Angela, let me go to you first, because we had this incredible moment just 90 minutes before the debate started where Trump held a press conference, although I don't think any questions were actually asked from the media. But there was they were sitting at a table with a number of accusers of Bill Clinton. Let's listen here, because Trump then brought it up in the debate.
If you look at Bill Clinton, far worse, minor words, and his was action. His was what he's done to women. There's never been anybody in the history of politics in this nation that's been so abusive to women. So you can say any way you want to say it, but Bill Clinton was abusive to women. Hillary Clinton attacked those same women.
Angela, what did you make of that strategy? And those women were in the debate audience, which is something Trump had threatened for the first debate, didn't do, but he did it this time.
I think shame on Donald Trump. I think it was absolutely disgusting. Jeremy, I was supposed to be in the spin room. And when I saw the press conference start, I was literally sickened to my stomach, in part because as a woman, I just empathized with Hillary Clinton in that moment. And frankly, Melania Trump, she has been humiliated over the course of the last 4 or 5 days. And to see her husband go out and make this worse, not by owning his own actions of 11 years ago, when you hear the Trump surrogates and talkers speak about this, but to trudge back to 20 plus years ago to talk about Bill Clinton's accusers, I'm sorry, but please tell me where on the ticket Bill Clinton is. This is not about Bill Clinton's past transgressions. This
is
about
the ticket.
No, he's not at the top of the ticket, Paris. Her name is Hillary Rodham Clinton, and she can stand on her own. As Donald Trump said himself at the end of the debate, she's a fighter and she's not giving up. So in spite of him trying to humiliate her in front of the American people by bringing this out, something that was so hurtful and so humiliating to her, something that his wife is going through right now, she rose above all of it, true to form, like she talked about Michelle Obama doing. And I could not have been prouder of her. I would have taken off my shoe and thrown it at his head. Like, that's how bad and volatile that was. I really, really applaud her. She gained a tremendous amount of respect for me from holding her ground last night.
What did
she
you
really
think
did.
About it, Paris?
I think it was appropriate, and I wish that there were a lot of people who had exercised the same passion that Angela has for Secretary Clinton towards those women who were violated and mistreated by Bill Clinton. At the end of the day, they deserve to have their voices heard, and it's no different than what
Was that the time and the place for that to happen?
Well, let me ask you this. Was it the time, the place to bring up Ms. Muchado? Was that the time, the place? Was that the time, the place to do that there? I don't know if it was. And I believe that if you're going to go down that road, which Secretary Clinton opened the door to, she opens herself up to President Clinton's record. She can tout his record on the economy, but she also has to stand firm and talk about what he did to women and how she was complicit and how she attacked those same women.
That's
she
victim
was.
Blaming. She wasn't. That's victim blaming. And I think what's even more interesting is that now it's
wait,
been proven.
Who's the victim here? The three women that were abused by President Clinton, or just Secretary Clinton?
The alleged victims.
Or Melania.
And Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton was a victim. And I'm
it was
glad
shameful
you brought up
what Secretary Clinton did.
Up Melania.
It was shameful what Secretary
Paris,
Clinton did.
I didn't talk over you while you were talking.
Don't make me be like the moderator on the debate
afraid
last
of what
night.
I have
Let's
to
let Angela.
No, I'm not afraid. I just don't like false rage.
Okay, well then listen.
Yeah, Angela, go ahead.
I just want to bring this up because I think it's also important. One thing that you haven't seen happen, but this is very clear, is none of the victims, the alleged victims of Donald Trump have been paid off. Well, Donald Trump's campaign PAC, Roger Stone, paid off one of the alleged victims.
That's being reported
the
today.
According to ABC News, the Arkansas woman, Kathy Shulton, who was allegedly sexually assaulted, was paid off by Roger Stone. That's how messy and how in the gutter this political season is.
I just want to get to one more thing, because this is also a big story that happened the other day, this WikiLeaks revelations about Hillary Clinton and what she may have said to Wall Street bankers, and talking about politicians having a public and private position on issues. She was asked about that last night, and she started talking about Abraham Lincoln. Let's listen.
As I recall, that was something I said about Abraham Lincoln after having seen the wonderful Steven Spielberg movie called Lincoln. It was a masterclass watching President Lincoln get the Congress to approve the 13th Amendment. It was principled and it was strategic.
Angela, kind of an odd answer, I have to say.
Listen, this one doesn't pass the laugh test for me either, Jeremy. I applaud her efforts, but this is a stretch. I cannot ride with Hills on this answer. I wish that she would have came up with something else. But no, this was a joke. I think that she just should have acknowledged, you know, sometimes in politics, we say some things that are more palatable to the public, right or wrong or indifferent. And sometimes when we're behind closed doors, I know a lot of politicians who do it. Again, I'm not condoning the behavior, but it's true. They say different things to different interest groups and stakeholders, and this was clearly one of those moments. I wish it.
A few seconds left, but your thoughts on that?
Look, it was a straight question about her being two-faced. Instead of being honest with the American people, she decided to blame Lincoln. Just like the last debate, she decided to blame Bush. By the end of this debate series, she's going to blame every Republican candidate or president instead of standing on her own 2 feet and accepting the truth. This plays into the fact that people don't trust her. It's not Abraham Lincoln's fault. It's yours.
That's Paris Denard, Republican strategist, not working for the Trump campaign, and Angela Rye, Democratic strategist, not working for the Clinton campaign. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy.